Coming to you from somewhere in Sanctuary, this is episode 450 of Shattered Soulstone, your Diablo community podcast. This episode is called Codec Talk, because I think it sounds funny. It is March 24, 2024, and this is Jen. So we're going to start off with an article from Engadget titled Activision Blizzard's ex-CEO, Bobby Kotick, reportedly wants to buy TikTok. And there's a little blurb in here. It says, he's pitched the idea to potential partners, including OpenAI CEO Sam Altman, the Wall Street Journal reports. This was written by Cheyenne McDonald. So here's a little bit from this article. Bobby Kotick, the former CEO of Activision Blizzard, who stepped down at the end of last year, is apparently interested in buying TikTok as a new bill in the U.S. threatens to ban the app or force its sale, according to a report by the Wall Street Journal. Kotick mentioned the idea of partnering on such a purchase to OpenAI CEO Sam Altman and others seated with him at a conference dinner last week and brought it up with ByteDance executive chair Zhang Yiming. If TikTok is sold, the Wall Street Journal notes, it would likely go for hundreds of billions of dollars. Kotick led Activision for over 30 years, but didn't exactly leave on a good note. The company has faced multiple lawsuits in recent years, including one it settled with the California Civil Rights Department over alleged pay discrimination in December. In 2021, Activision Blizzard employees staged a walkout and demanded Kotick resign, but that didn't happen. Kotick ultimately stayed on as the head of Activision Blizzard until the completion of Microsoft's acquisition in 2023. Kotick's alleged interest in TikTok comes at a tumultuous moment for the immensely popular platform after lawmakers introduced the Policing Americans from Foreign Adversary Controlled Applications Act, that's a mouthful, last week, which President Biden said he would sign if it passes. Under the bill, which goes to the House floor on Wednesday for a vote, TikTok's China-based parent company ByteDance would have to sell the app within 6 months, otherwise it'll be banned from U.S. app stores. TikTok has been trying to get its millions of users to rally behind it in wake of the bill's sudden momentum and sent out push notifications last week asking users to call their representatives. After the House vote, where it's expected to be approved after clearing the Energy and Commerce Committee in a unanimous vote last week, the bill would move on to the Senate. While lawmakers' concerns about TikTok center on fears of data privacy and its connection to China, Wall Street Journal notes that involving Altman in its purchase could open up the app to the possibility of being used by OpenAI to train its AI models, which doesn't exactly sound ideal for users either. And it kind of goes on from there a little bit. But that's what's going on. I mean, I guess, you know, maybe Bobby Kotick is bored and wants to try, you know, messing around with something else that may or may not make its way through Congress and the Senate and all that. I don't know. It's just weird. And from here, we have a lot of Diablo stuff going on. So we have, if you haven't done this already, which I haven't, the reason I haven't is because I've been sick for a while, because I have horrible allergies and just couldn't function for a while. So that's why last episode didn't appear, because I just couldn't do it. So I'm just going to continue on from here. So Diablo 4 patch 1.3.4 is now available to download. It is 2 gigabytes, apparently, and this is from Wowhead, written by Jez Artros. It's got a lovely image at the top of this here, and it doesn't say a heck of a lot other than that. I mean, there's some notes about it, but that's from a while back. So I guess what they're trying to say is you should probably go ahead and download this patch. On March 14, Bloodshed announced on Twitter/X this. It's official. I am now a member of the hashtag Diablo community team. There's a little fire emoji there. I'll be helping out with creator programs and management. Really excited to dig back in with the community. There's a little red heart. Also, you can still expect the educational videos from me on the YouTube channel. So that's what's going on with Bloodshed. So, you know, good job. I think you'll do well. You seem to know what you're talking about. So that's great. Over in Diablo Immortal territory, we've got a few things that have been posted on Twitter/X. So it's the first one I've got here is titled, "The Arachnid Embodies the Webs It Spins, Complete with Deceptions and Lethal Traps. Eradicate the threat to win challenges and rewards in our Season 24 Battle Pass, Regent of Webs, available now until April 11th. And it has a picture here of The different types of characters you could possibly play in Diablo Immortal, and I don't know if there's like webs coming from them or not, or if they're stuck in one, but it's kind of a neat little drawing. Everything I talk about today is going to be in the show notes, so you can find it there, and it looks like there's like a 34-second video stuck with this thing that I just read you, so you can go ahead and do that. And some of the comments are really funny. One of them has a picture of one of the Diablo Immortal characters. It looks like a man with green hair and green clothing. And this person, I'm not going to name, writes, "Finally a kinky BP skin. I love it so much." I don't think there's anything weird about it, but this person seems happy, so maybe he'll go in and get that. Also from Diablo Immortal on X/Twitter, "A new terror is descending into Sanctuary. Prepare to defend with honor during our limited time event from now until April 1st. And there's this huge thing with teeth and a glowing interior, like it's going to swallow up the players or something like that. And it says, something is tearing into Sanctuary." And that's all it says. So we don't know what that's going to be exactly, but I bet it'll be interesting. And then again from Diablo Immortal, this was written on March 23rd. "In 2024, the age of unmasking takes over Diablo Immortal. What are you most excited for this year? Let us know in the comments." And there's a 2024 roadmap here called The Age of Unmasking. Above it is the second anniversary, and then later there's something called Terror Reign. So from January to March, there's Terror Rifts, Oblivion Pillars, Eternal Equipment, and Deckard Cain Elite Quest. That's also has Tong Shi's Renewal in front of that. The next is a blue banner that says New Class. That's for April and June, so it's going to be a new Paragon system, new equipment system, new Heliquary bosses, and new game modes. Then there's a yellow banner that says Cursed Solstice. This is for July through September. Worldstone Quest Part 1, Dungeon Updates, New Co-op Mode, Accursed Towers Update. And then there's another one that's an orange banner that says Hallow's Wake. That's going to happen for October and December, or maybe between September and October. Not real clear about that. So that one for October and December is Worldstone Quest Part 2, because the September one was Part 1. And then there's a new zone and Heliquary bosses and so much more, apparently. And then the last thing over there says Brumaltine, and I don't know what that is, but if you go into the game, you'll probably find out for yourself when it gets there. If you missed it in the past, you may have become aware that there are a lot of books that have to do with mostly lore of various characters in the entire Diablo series. So we're not just talking about Diablo Immortal or Diablo 4, but the whole deal. So Wowhead posted 9 days ago by Selic a post that says, "Diablo Book of Cain and Book of Tyriel re-released on March 12th, so they're already out there if you want to get them. I happen to have both of these because I got them right away because I'm a lore junkie, apparently, and I just really want to know what's going on. I usually, like, really enjoy the artwork and the stories and that kind of thing, so here's a little bit about that. Blizzard re-released the first two books from the Diablo Book of series, Book of Cain and Book of Tyriel, on March 12. These decade-old books have finally made their return, just in time to potentially give us a refresher on key bits of lore in the Diablo universe. At the time of publication, the price is $29.95 USD for the Book of Cain and $27.87 USD for the Book of Tyriel. Diablo Book of Cain was originally published on December 13, 2011, while Diablo Book of Tyriel was published on October 1st, 2013. These books had seemingly run out of print given their unusually high prices if you were to buy them new. As of March 12, these books are now back in stock for anyone who is looking to add them to their collection or to catch up on more recent lore in the Diablo franchise, and to prepare for even more lore to come when Vessel of Hatred releases." That is my understanding is going to be season 4. There was a whole thing I watched about it. You may have watched it too, and it had like really interesting pictures, but not a lot of details, because of course they're not going to give you all the details for the upcoming thing if you're still in the current thing, you know? So those who are looking to purchase these books can find them on Amazon using the link below, where there is a link in this article, or wherever books are sold. At the time of publication, the price is, I think we already just said that one, $29.95 USD for Book of Cain, $27.87 for Book of Tyriel. And there's supposed to be another one, a Book of Prava, which I think I mentioned the last time I did a Shattered Soulstone episode, and that one is $29.95 USD. It's not real clear when that's going to come out, but it might be with Diablo 4's expansion, Vessel of Hatred, and is likely to coincide with the expansion's release late in 2024. So, if you want some lore, this is where to go, but you're going to have to wait on the Prava one. Over on MaxRoll, we have the itemization campfire chat wrap-up written by Dreadscythe, who always does good work in this. This is where I go when I'm like, okay, wait, what is this about? I go here, and then I learn everything, and it's wonderful. Okay, so the itemization campfire chat live stream just took place. The panel consisted of Joe Shelley, game director, Joseph Priapora, associate game director, Adam Jackson, lead class designer, Charles Dunn, associate game designer, and Adam Fletcher, director of community. The topics included the massive itemization updates, class changes, PTR news, and so much more. See all the major points below. This is kind of long, so I'm going to give you some of it, and you can check it out in the show notes later on. PTR details. Yes, they're having a PTR. If you missed that before, there will be a PTR for the next chapter of Diablo 4, basically. So here's some little bullet points. The upcoming PTR will run from April 2nd to April 9th. The PTR is PCBattle.net only. Console PTRs may happen in the future. Season 3 ends Tuesday, May 14th, now to allow the PTR to run and incorporate all the feedback. And Season 4 starts on Tuesday, May 14th. So that's kind of together, you know? Season 4 will start on the 14th. Season 3 ends on the 14th, I think. So I gotta get back in there and play. Me being sick for a while did not help me at all. Okay, PTR specifics. Instant boost to 100, including the following. Campaign completion, mount, all skill points, all paragon points, fog of war cleared, all altars of Lilith discovered, random set of rare gear on your boosted character, all class systems unlocked, all glyphs maxed level. When boosted, you gain, oh boy, a lot of gold. 1 million, I think it's 1 million gold or something like that, and 1,000 obols. This can be done multiple times. Legendary drop rates doubled. Note, anything related to renown mimics what you currently have completed. If you haven't already, make sure you do this before the PTR starts. A specific PTR forum will be added to the Diablo 4 site, as well as the team will monitor social media channels. Here's some itemization updates. The dev team started with three key principles. Quality over quantity. The devs are refocusing on having fewer items with better quality. This gives items more meaning to more players for the long run. The best items have a journey. Currently, once you found your gear, that was it for the most part. With new systems coming to the game, the goal is to make items more a journey, to have items unique to you and give a sense of progression through crafting. Surprise and delight. Reignite the joy when items drop. There should be exciting rewards. There is also trading. Trading is being updated in a big way. Legendaries and uniques will become tradable in Season 4. There are two exceptions. Doing any form of crafting on these items binds them to you. Also, uber uniques are not tradable. There's a bunch of stuff here from base item updates. There's photos of this in here that I'll let you go check out on your own. Yeah, and this just goes on, and it looks really good. So part of it, underneath those pictures with some words in them, talks about items gain affixes from a smaller pool. This is meant to remove a lot of duplicate or conditional effects. The dev team is also improving the potency of many affixes, including plus ranks to skill. Sacred items now only drop in World Tier 3, with ancestral items in World Tier 4. Overall affix values have been increased. Legendary items now only roll 3 affixes, down from 4. Rare items now only roll 2 affixes, down from 4 max. The amount of affixes, at least for legendaries, is meant to give you a great base to work on and to add to. Again, this is meant to change the itemization in-game to a journey. Legendaries from level 95 plus monsters always drop at 925 item power. Many uniques now drop in world tiers 1 and 2. Starting in world tier 3, all uniques drop. Uber uniques start dropping from monster level 55 plus enemies and always drop with 925 item power. There's some other stuff in here I highly recommend you scroll through it and read the rest of it, but if you want to know everything, this is exactly where you need to go over on Max Roll with what Dreadside has written. And I even didn't give you all of it, there's more for you to discover. We have Diablo 4 patch notes, which sometimes I find hilariously funny as to what they had to fix, and sometimes it's just kind of like, oh, that's okay. So this was posted on March 22nd, 2024. The Diablo 4 team has been monitoring your feedback. As we introduce patches to keep your experience in Sanctuary smooth, we will update the below list and denote whether the fixes are intended for PC, Xbox, PlayStation, or all platforms. So here we go. This is for all platforms. Well, they posted this patch notes on March 22, but they decided to add to it and on March 26 for some reason. So game updates, patch 1.3.5 introduces ray tracing to all supported platforms and updates to ambient occlusion and contact shadows. For more details, please visit this article. I guess I'm going to have to find this article after I'm done writing this. There are bug fixes. Fixed an issue where the portal entrance to the gauntlet didn't apply portal cosmetics, fixed an issue where the ability to interact with certain things would not function if corpse tendrils were equipped to the same key binding as interact, fixed an issue where some elites could not properly spawn in the second half of the Path of the Blind dungeon, fixed an issue where some headstone cosmetics would not appear in the wardrobe, various performance, stability, and visual improvements. So there's that. That's the newest stuff. Let's find out what this article happens to be. Just, you know, to see what they meant. Okay, so the article is titled, Hell's Beauty Burns Anew with Ray Tracing. This is from March 2022. Nope, 22 of 2024. Sorry, numbers are the bane of my existence, honestly. On March 26, wanderers can conquer the horrors of hell with a suite of new graphical enhancements available to them with patch 1.3.5. Arriving alongside our next content update, Sanctuary will be further imbued with the luscious shadows and enhanced reflections of ray tracing, plus other visual enhancements. So here's some stuff that they've got going on. If you go to this article, which again will be in the show notes, it will show you like where the shadows are coming from and the difference between using it and not using it. To me, this one looks a little subtle, but there's some differences right away you can see if you watch it long enough. Ray tracing shadows. Ray tracing is the term that broadly refers to the ability for game engines to produce more lifelike images. For example, shadows cast by the sun are enhanced with ray tracing. And there's a picture here of one that's a little bit more blurry and one that's not as blurry. So it says on the left, ray tracing is toggled off, resulting in sharper and less accurate shadows. On the right, ray tracing is enabled. The shadows from the tree are much more realistic and lifelike. Notice the further you look from the base of the tree, the softer the shadows become because these are in some kind of fog. There's a person riding a horse through somewhere in Sanctuary, and the difference between the shadow coming from the building behind this character is very different. It's very clear in the first shot, and it's kind of fuzzy in the second shot, and there's more like this. There's a group of little skeletons trying to be fought off by what probably is either, I think, a druid, because they do have, like, you know, horns on their helmet, and the first glimpse of it gives you like a fuzzy view of the shadows of these two skeletons and the character that they're playing, and how clear it gets after that. I think that's mostly the point with this, is to show like hard shadows so you can really see things going on. And then there's one in, like, your character goes for the first time to talk to Tyriel. That's all I'm going to say about that if you haven't done it. And yeah, the shadows are totally different. So there's that. There's also reflections on the water. So ray tracing also produces more lifelike reflections on surfaces like a still pond or a broad mirror. This enhanced feature can reveal more details around your environment by not only bringing depth to the reflections of the water, but adding to the broader environmental storytelling as well. With this asset below, okay, here's the asset below, we've got what looks like a sorcerer who is throwing lightning at a group of possibly ghouls, and they're all standing in a river. Okay, so With this asset below, the ray tracing enabled, you can see the reflection of the ball lightning off the surface of the water. One of the benefits of ray tracing is that it can also enable you to see the reflection of something off screen, like the off screen rock face in the top right hand corner below the image. The reflections from ray tracing will help provide more lifelike instances where you can view pieces of environment that were previously unseen. And that's most of it. There's also ambient occlusion, which sounds like someone did something dangerous and needed a hospital, but maybe not. Diablo 4 already includes ambient occlusion, which measures the extent of which a surface is obscured from surrounding light shadows. In other words, it determines how much surrounding objects prevent a surface or object from receiving light from a source such as a campfire or lantern. Now available on all platforms, we have updated and enhanced the ambient occlusion feature. PC users who use the preset graphics upon ultra quality will notice this change the most, but it can be seen on all quality settings on all platforms. And there's, you know, showing you the shadows coming and going on a couple of different images down here. There are contact shadows. We recently updated contact shadows to apply to more characters in Sanctuary than before. Previously, contact shadows only displayed the shadows around player characters, but now, at the highest graphic settings, includes shadows for all player characters, NPCs, and monsters alike. And then there's stuff for PC and for console, so depending on what you're using, or maybe you're doing both, here's what you need to know. Graphics settings, requirements, and how to enable for PC. To enable ray tracing and other visual enhancements on PC, select Options from the in-game menu. Under Performance, you can manually select the various visual improvements that have been included with this content update outlined in this blog. For additional details on which graphic cards are eligible for ray tracing, please see our Diablo 4 system requirements article here. That might have been the one that I just told you about. Console. On console, select Options from the in-game menu. From there, navigate to the Graphics tab. Under Performance, select Enhanced Visuals. This enables enhanced visuals on console. Feast your eyes on your improved ray tracing visuals. It increases the quality of textures like fur, hair, and fog. Shadows will have a more realistic response to light at various distances, and many reflections will be enhanced. In order not to compromise overall performance, this feature is locked at 30 FPS frames per second overall. And then something having to do with NVIDIA GeForce is in here as well. I've never used one. I don't know what this does, but if you have one, you might want to read the end of this particular article from Blizzard. PC Gamer has an article titled, Blizzard Just Revived Diablo 4 with a List of Changes So Massive That It's Practically a New Game, written by Tyler Culp. A little blurb here. Season 4 will add powerful loot crafting, new dungeons, new bosses, and a list of quality of life changes. So here's a little bit from this article. Blizzard should call Diablo 4's next season Diablo 5 because the changes coming on are so fundamental and widespread it's going to feel like you're playing a full-on sequel. After months of teasing a massive overhaul to Diablo 4's core design, Blizzard used today's Campfire Chat stream to walk through Season 4's rework, which will be permanently in the game from then on, to loot and many of the game's other core systems over the course of a nearly two-hour stream. The changes touch almost every aspect of the game, which is probably why the stream opened with game director Joe Shelley defining the most important aspects of Diablo 4 as the decisions you make before combat and the ones you make in between to set up what's in store for next season. Season 4's loot rework redefines how you build your character through loot and adds much-needed complexity and creativity to Diablo 4's character progression. Diablo 4's items and your character as a result are going to become flexible in ways they have never been since its release. A pair of gloves, for example, can drop with only a few stats or affixes you want, and through two new crafting systems, they can now be shaped around the kind of build you want to play. Blizzard has clearly taken inspiration from Last Epoch and Path of Exile, I hope I pronounced those right, to add a staggering amount of customization to its loot. The hope is that the age of sorting through mountains of gear for the perfect items is finally over, and Blizzard believes it can be done without a loot filter. And here's some, there's a picture in here about different items and what they're turning into, that kind of thing. Manuals will drop consistently as you play and are permanently available in a menu, so if you need a manual for something, there it is. Let's walk through a theoretical example of how upgrading loot will work in Season 4 and onwards. You defeat a boss who drops gloves with three stats on them. Legendary and rare items have one fewer stat on them now. 2. They're almost perfect for you, but will need to be tempered at the blacksmith. 3. You temper your gloves with a new manual item you found that adds 1 of 4 mobility-based stats, example, movement speed, evade cooldown reduction, etc. 4. You're lucky and get the movement speed stat added to your item before using up its maximum temper rerolls. 5. You add 1 more stat that makes your bone splinters skill shoot more projectiles. 6. Then you use the master working system to increase all the stats, including the tempered ones on the gloves, even further, up to 12 times. 7. You luck out and roll the 4 major upgrades to your movement speed, increasing the stat dramatically. 1 stat jumps way up every 4 upgrades. 8. You're now the fastest necromancer that ever lived. And there's a little bit more in here, but that's kind of the idea. I think I like this idea because it does, as this article said, make it pretty clear that they know that things are kind of, you know, you have to go searching through your stash to find the thing you want, and it may be underpowered for you by the time you find it, and that kind of stuff. So I think it's cool that they're giving us more options to do stuff with, and we won't have to spend so much time just sorting through loot that maybe is not relevant for us anymore. So I like that. The Verge has a teeny tiny little article posted on March 14 by Tom Warren. It says, Diablo's 4's ray tracing update arrives March 26. Diablo 4 is getting a ray tracing update later this month. Armor, water, windows, and other reflective surfaces will all have ray traced reflections for more detail and lighting accuracy. Shadows throughout the game will also feature ray tracing. And then there's a part about NVIDIA that I skipped over, but they have a tiny bit here. NVIDIA is also bringing DLSS 3.5 to Portal with RTX. This should improve the fidelity of full ray tracing in the game, and you can enable frame generation on 40-series RTX cards to boost frame rates. So there's that going on. And a lot of the rest of this is Wowhead. We've got Occultist Enchanting Costs to Cap in Diablo 4 Season 4, posted by Constant, something like that. So here's a little bit about that. A frequently requested change to Diablo 4's enchanting system will be coming in Season 4. The cost to reroll gear affixes at the Occultist will now cap at a certain cost. Blizzard revealed during the latest campfire chat that enchanting cost would be one of the systems receiving an overhaul, no longer scaling to an absurd degree on repeated rerolled pieces of gear. And then there's some updates here. It's in a little box, so it looks like it's from the campfire chat. Additional updates. Legendary items dropped from monsters level 95 plus are always 925 item power. I think this is the same thing I saw before. Forgotten souls from whispers rare drop globally from elites. There's this kind of stuff in there. Currently, players looking to reroll an Aphex on their gear have to pay a continuously scaling gold cost on each reroll. For some, this is an annoyance at best, but for unlucky players or those looking to push the absolute limit of their gear with perfect stat rolls, this scaling cost can quickly balloon into the tens of millions per roll. Assuming the gold cost cap implemented in the Season 4 change is reasonable, this is sure to be a well-received change for players who have had their of rolling away their gold in the current state of Season 3. And so there's more about that somewhere. Also from Wowhead, from Arctane, huge changes coming to Helltides in Diablo 4 Season 4. And it's got a picture here of somebody's character with a bow running towards something else for Helltides. It's a little Helltides thing in the corner, so you know that's where you ran into, I suppose. This one was written by Arctane. I think I just said that. The recent developer campfire chat has announced some of the upcoming changes to Diablo 4, which are simply massive in scope. They are barely any systems that are left untouched, and one of these sweeping reworks targets the Helltide event, which is getting considerable quality of life and mechanical changes. A number of these much-needed changes are brand new, but some bear direct inspiration from the popular Blood Harvest event from Season 2. Helltide quality of life changes. Helltides will now be available for players in World Tiers 1 and 2, allowing players to have another way to level their characters. More interactables and events are being added to increase the diversity of things to do during the Helltide. There will be huge demonic worms that may suddenly burst forth from the ground to spew groups of demons near players at varying times. The density of monsters in the area will be much higher, including players being ambushed by sudden monster spawns, and will tie into the new Helltide threat system. About that, they wrote about the threat system. As players kill demons, complete events, and everything else they can do during the Helltide, the forces of Hell will begin to take notice of their actions. As the threat meter fills, demons will ambush players with increasing numbers and intensity, and there's some screenshots here of that. New Hellborn enemy and Helltide assault event. Upon filling the threat meter completely, a sound will play alongside a notification on the screen, signaling the beginning of Hell's directed assault. Helltide Harbingers will begin to spawn alongside significantly more monsters and elite monsters. This demonic assault will continue as the threat meter drains over time. At the end of this event, a new enemy type called the Hellborn will appear to attack the player with dark, shadowy versions of player skills. Once slain, the Hellborn will drop legendary items as well as its exquisite blood in order to summon Vampire Lord Zir. New Helltide Group Boss Encounter. As players progress through the Helltide, they will start to acquire a rare summoning material that can be used to summon the Blood Maiden, a new public event boss. While we don't know much about this boss yet, we'll update with the latest information once we hear more. Stay tuned. Also from Wowhead, Blizzard confirms Andariel and other bosses will drop Uber Uniques in Season 4 Diablo 4. So here's a little bit about that. This one was also written by Arctane. Following the recent Campfire Chat developer livestream on March 20, Blizzard has been providing extra details regarding some of the upcoming changes and features we can expect in Diablo 4 Season 4. Recently, Blizzard has confirmed that the new Uber boss Andariel will be an alternative to fighting Duriel for the coveted uber unique items such as the Grandfather, which is some kind of a sword. The information comes from game director Joe Shelley, who also noted that all of the other major bosses, such as Beast in the Ice and Lord Zir, will have a notable chance to drop uber unique items as well. Later, Shelley added in a reply to a player's question that the drop rate for uber uniques items from bosses such as Beast in the Ice and Lord Zir would be significantly higher than the normal odds of average gameplay. However, Andariel and Duriel will still have the best odds for players. So if you read through this Wowhead article, you can see some little screenshots from X/Twitter that Joe Shelley is talking to somebody about with the stuff that kind of is already in the article. These changes are certainly a welcome addition, as players have even more ways to get decent changes at claiming powerful trophy items. This will also relieve some of the fatigue some players have noted about fighting Duriel endlessly. So there's that. We've also got from Adam Fletcher over on X/Twitter, seen some people question if the camera/view distance change is just for Season 4. Just to be absolutely clear, it is in the game for good. There will be two options. The standard option, which is the distance currently in the game, and far, which is the expanded distance. Some platforms will default to one or the other, but a new option in the menu will be available for players to select the one they prefer. So yes, consoles will get this as well. So that's pretty cool that that can happen, you know? Anything that helps with consoles to make it somewhat adequate or reasonably similar to playing on PC is a good thing for me, because I have a Mac and it won't play this game. It will not play Diablo 4, but I could do it on my Xbox. Another one from Wowhead, written by Consvent. I hope I'm saying that right. Hardcore changes to death avoidance coming in Season 4, so if you are a hardcore player, this might interest you. Blizzard announced upcoming changes to death avoidance on hardcore realms in Season 4 during their recent Campfire Chat. Players will no longer have easily accessible cheat death mechanics, which will entirely change the meta in terms of how players approach everything from nightmare dungeons to pinnacle bosses. And here we have a picture of Elixir of Death Evasion. A magic elixir. For the next 30 minutes, prevent death once and become immune for 2 seconds. Once this takes place, you cannot benefit from it again for 5 minutes. And then the quest text or whatever here says, the item text. This elixir is special and may be used alongside any other elixir. It requires level 10, so that's really not too much to ask for, I suppose. We're also removing the Elixir of Death Evasion from the game. We've also redesigned Flame Shield's enchantment. So, yeah, that Elixir of Death Evasion, I guess, is leaving the game. I was not aware of that. So before, with Flame Shield, it was enhancement effect. Flame Shield automatically activates when you take fatal damage. Can only happen once every 120 seconds. And now it's changed to Flame Shield enchantment effect. Flame Shield automatically activates after cumulatively losing 100% maximum life. Can only happen once every 30 seconds, which is a lot better than waiting 120 seconds. So that's pretty cool. The first change applies to all players. Elixir of Death Evasion option will be removed from the game to emphasize the finality of death when playing hardcore. The second change only pertains to sorcerers. Flame Shield enchantment will no longer activate when taking damage that would otherwise be fatal, instead activating after a player cumulatively loses 100% of their maximum life every 30 seconds. So that's what that one's about. Got a few more here. Okay, so this one's written by Popular Topular, who has one of the best names over at WoWhead, in my opinion. Better visual clarity coming to Uber Lilith boss mechanics in Diablo 4 PTR. I'm just excited that we're having a PTR. I don't usually join into those because I'm terrible at it, and I'll leave everyone else to sort it out for themselves, but it's nice that they're giving us that option in general. You don't have to do it, but you can if you want to, depending on how many people they let in, I assume. If you've ever fought against Uber Echo of Lilith in Diablo 4, you may have had some frustration with the hitboxes and the visibility of some of her attacks. Diablo 4 lead class designer Adam Jackson has confirmed that in Diablo 4's first PTR, some changes will be coming to the Uber Lilith encounter, including more accurate hitboxes and fewer one-shot mechanics. So here's a post of something from X/Twitter that Adam Jackson wrote. Speaking of Uber Lilith on the PTR, you'll be seeing updates to her, including better visual clarity of her attacks, the hitbox of her waves will better match the visual, her waves slash ghosts are no longer one-shot mechanics, instead they'll do heavy ramping damage as you get hit. The Uber Lilith fight has often been criticized for its lack of clarity when it comes to the visualization of mechanics, so these will be welcome changes to players who have struggled with this boss encounter previously. Diablo 4's first PTR will be available to all PC Battle.net owners of Diablo 4 starting on April 2nd, so if you're on console, you're not getting into the PTR is what I'm understanding from this, and I won't be getting in either. Okay, we've got another one from WoWhead by Therid. Tempering, new crafting system coming with Diablo 4 Season 4. It's got this manual here about something. I don't know if this is the same as the other one or not. There's definitely a manual in here, but it didn't talk about... This one does not talk about the potion thing, so maybe it's something new. During their Season 4 Campfire livestream, Blizzard showcased a new crafting system coming with Diablo 4 Season 4. Tempering will be a new crafting system coming to Diablo 4 with the release of Season 4. Together with the new Masterworking crafting system, Tempering will replace current upgrade crafting system and offer new ways to further improve items in Diablo 4. Here's some stuff. Through the tempering crafting system, players can add specific powerful affixes to rare and legendary items. These tempered affixes appear on so-called temper manuals, which have four different affixes on them and drop from most content in Diablo 4. Players won't be able to add tempered affixes to unique and uber unique items. If you combine a certain temper manual with an item, it will add one of those four affixes randomly. There will be general temper manuals, but also class-specific temper manuals with powerful exclusive tempered affixes, as shown in the screenshot down below, which they do have pictures of those. Similar to aspects, temper manuals will have different categories: weapons, offensive, defensive, utility, mobility, resource. These categories indicate which items could be combined with the temper manual. For example, a mobility temper manual can be applied to boots and amulets. Ancestor items can hold up to two tempered affixes. Items will also have tempering durability, also called temper rerolls, which will determine the number of times a player could reroll a tempered affix. Much more like normal affixes, tempered affixes can roll within a certain range, adding another probability layer to the crafting process. The developers pointed out that the system includes a lot of new and unique affixes that will add more customization and new ways to play your character. So that's what that one is. And finally, we have Diablo 4 Uber Unique coming in Season 4, Tyrael's Might, written by Popular Topular. If you played Diablo 3, you've probably wore Tyrael's Might or pieces of it in the game, and it's really neat. So we've got this character here in a screenshot that is scaring away a bunch of, looks like skeletons that are on fire, and a bunch of, like, I don't know if this one has their own skeletons or not, but it looks like a whole bunch of shields around that particular character and these lights coming off of them. So this one is a 925 item power. It is 1,619 armor, plus 18 to all stats, plus 50% maximum resistance to all elements, plus 11.2% resistance to all elements, 10% damage reduction. While at full life, your skills unleash a divine barrage dealing 909, also saying 782 to 924 damage. At the bottom, It's not quite all the way there, but it says, "Thus Tyriel, a perfect aspect of justice, came to be. None were more vehement against the forces of hell." And it goes on from there. It's a little cut off. Oh, here's the rest of it. "All demonic entities learn to shudder at justice's might. Books of Jarl, Volume 1. This uber-unique has some great defensive affixes, such as maximum resistance to all elements, which dramatically reduces the amount of non-physical damage that a character takes. Additionally, the developers confirmed that the damage reduction affix would be much more rare starting in Season 4, so this is another huge bonus. Finally, the conditional effect that unleashes a divine barrage acts as an artillery shrine, launching projectiles out at enemies whenever the character casts a skill or ability. A second unique item, but not an uber-unique, Fractured Winterglass is also shown during this live stream. Fractured Winterglass is a unique amulet that allows sorcerers to randomly spawn a conjuration, such as a hydra, whenever they cast Frozen Orb. In addition, these randomly spawned conjurations will also have a lucky hit chance to cast an additional Frozen Orb. There's a screenshot of that in there. And these are just two of the unique items that are coming, the new unique items that are coming to Season 4. So that's pretty cool. That's a lot of stuff to do in the game coming up in Season 4. I've had this, I've been talking at you for more than 40 minutes now, so I think it's time to end it. Thanks for listening. You've been listening to episode 450 of The Shattered Soulstone, your Diablo community podcast. Missed an episode? You can find the show blog and listen to the show archives at www.shatteredsoulstone.com. Come join us in-game. Our in-game community and clan, both named Shattered Soulstone, are open to anyone who would like to join. You can also join us on Discord for the ultimate team and community-based experience. Find the Discord invitation link on our Twitter at Shattered Stone, as well as the Shattered Soulstone website. Thank you for listening.